This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Well, good morning. This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, and you may have already figured out by now I am not Randy Corcoran. But hey, thank you for joining me. This is Deborah Flora. I am sitting in for Randy today. Hey, you're still going to get to hear him. He's coming in a little bit later today. He'll be here at 9 a.m. But thanks for joining me so that we can wake up together. I don't know about you. I've got some coffee coursing through my veins. I'm ready to go. The music is, it's kind of rocking this morning, this Saturday. December 7th is going to be a beautiful day after all this cold weather, which, by the way, I really have liked. It gives you the feeling of Christmas, but it's going to warm up today into the mid-50s. So, you know what? I know you're probably running around. Thank you for joining today. Thanks for turning on the radio for the conversation. Well, you know what? I thought that this morning we would wake up easy together. And what is more easy than Mr. Rogers? Yes, even saying his name just makes you feel kind of comfortable, doesn't it? So my background, by the way, I host the nationally syndicated radio program on our sister station, Bring It Up, and you can hear it today, Saturday, 3 p.m. on 94.7 FM, The Word. But my other background is I would call myself a recovered actress. Yes, I'm in my left brain and my right mind. I spent too many years in Hollywood. I'm from here originally. I just have to say that. I am not one of those invading Californians. I'm from here, grew up on Lowry Air Force Base, and then had this rather unusual odyssey into what I would call La La Land or the People's Republic of California. Happy to be home. All that simply to say, when I see something unusual happening in the entertainment industry, I take note because it's kind of a cultural bellwether that we can look at. So here's what's amazing to me. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Okay, you do not have to admit it to me. If you watched it in its early years, I will not ask your age. But Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood aired from 1968 to 2001. So I'm just going to pretend I saw it in the later years. I won't tell you when I actually watched it because that would just be giving a little too much away. But it aired for that long. Well, Mr. Rogers has had a resurgence in Hollywood. Who would have thought? Well, you may remember that Won't You Be My Neighbor, the 2018 documentary on Fred Rogers' television show. It was a huge success. You can see it still streaming on cable. It was the highest grossing biographical documentary of all time. That tells you something. Mr. Rogers, who is often associated with, you know, the sweater, the tennis shoes, and could potentially be looked at as bland in this hyperactive kinetic generation that we're in. Well, not only this documentary, but the new movie that just opened, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, it released and it was starring Tom Hanks. We're talking big budget, big Hollywood. The estimated budget, though, by the way, was only $25 million. That's actually relatively small. The production value was great. It has surprised industry experts by already making $35 million at the box office, and it's got what we would call legs in the industry. It doesn't show signs of stopping. It's actually continuing at a really strong pace. So here's my question. Why is The Man in the Red Sweater so popular right now? That's a good question, I think, actually, because he is so countercultural, and I think that is why. In this day and age of vitriol and cynicism and just, you know, name calling that is going on, the neighborhood has gotten a little rough, I think. I think the neighborhood is being run by the bullies today. You know, the headlines are full of examples. Just this week, the New York Post talks about how a survey shows Americans wake up feeling grumpy an average of 6 days a week. Okay, I can do the math. That's 6 out of 7 days. That one day is the rare exception. I hope you didn't wake up grumpy, but if you did, we're going to have some fun this morning because we're going to go into Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood for a little bit. So there's that headline. Another one, Salt Lake City. This happened this week. A man punched a worker in the face because he got his McDonald's order wrong. That's the level that we're at today. Here's another one. San Francisco. A mom was so upset with her son's haircut, she slammed her car into the barbershop. Okay, we've all had bad haircuts, but I'm talking this is a whole new level of anger and stress in the neighborhood. You know, there was an interesting industry review, an Insider Hollywood review about This movie, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood with Tom Hanks, when it was played at one of the most prestigious film festivals. So we're talking, this is the top level of Hollywood. They live in the midst of it. And they said when the credits began to roll and the camera moved slowly through Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, we all remember that, there was almost a collective sigh and a palpable sense of relaxing in this very highfalutin Hollywood crowd. And here's what the review said. Quote, it says more about the audience than its subject, maybe, that a man like Rogers is so hard to take at face value. Could anyone be that kind all the time? Great question. Especially today, because we can, it's hard for us to understand this word kind. Well, the truth is, everyone who knew Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, said he was just as kind behind the camera as he was in front of it. His kindness was real. So here's my question. Is this potentially an antidote in this day of cynicism and vitriol? Maybe just a little dose of kindness? Kindness can seem like such a weak word. I looked it up, by the way, in the dictionary, and here's how it defined it. Pleasantness. Okay, I'm sorry. That's about as bland and weak of a word as you can get. Pleasantness. But I'm going to hypothesize this morning that kindness is far from being weak. It is actually what I believe to be one of the most powerful forces in interpersonal relationships, one of the most powerful forces in our day today. You know, kindness is actually, for those who know the Bible, it's described as one of the top two definitions of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. What does that look like today? I mean, I have to say, when I see an act of kindness, it is so countercultural. It melts my heart. And I know I'm not the only one. Tom Hanks agreed to do the movie, he said, after seeing a clip of Mr. Rogers that he said made him bawl his eyes out. Let me set this up for a moment. Mr. Rogers had a five-year-old boy in a wheelchair on the show, and he talked to him, as Hanks said, so gently, so respectfully, and he seemed to know just what to say. And to set this up, Mr. Rogers and this young boy, Jeff Erlanger, they sing a song together that today seems just like something out of a time warp. And then he asks him a really special question. So, hey, James, let's play this first clip.
I hope that you remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like, it's you yourself, it's you, it's you.
And it is you I like, Jeff.
Thanks.
And there must be times when you do feel blue.
Uh-huh.
What do you do during those times?
Well, it depends.
Sometimes do you make up stories?
Yeah.
Or read?
Yeah.
Or play? I know that's the way I did when I was a little boy. And all kinds of things that I would
do. Did it help?
It did help. Yeah. Does it help you?
Yeah.
We have to all discover our own ways, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Of doing things when we're feeling blue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling blue right now, though.
Me neither.
I don't know about you, but I'm not feeling blue either. Thank you, Mr. Rogers. I mean, I'm sorry. I know it is archaic in a way. And coming from being a producer in Hollywood as well, it is definitely not high production value. But man, there's something so kind about that. You know, Tom Hanks explained why he found Mr. Rogers a subject worth reexamining by saying this, quote, I think cynicism has become the default position for so much of daily structure and intercourse. And he said, why? Because it's easy. You know, it's right. He's really right about that. Cynicism is easy. Vitriol is easy. It's easy to, somebody hits you verbally, you just smack right back. I mean, and believe me, we all have a lot of reason, excuses to do that today. There is so much name calling, so much vitriol, so much vilifying of one another. It's easy just to strike back. But kindness is hard, but kindness is worth it. You know why? It's actually countercultural. And why is it so transformational? I actually believe it's supernatural. Now, I'm not getting all weird and everything, but it truly is beyond the natural. You know, Fred Rogers, he was actually, believe it or not, an ordained minister, for goodness sake. He actually lived what he believed. And when he went to seminary, he never planned on practicing in a church. He knew he wanted to go into television, and he looked at television as being a servant. Hey, James, let's play this clip number two from Mr. Rogers' own words.
I feel that those of us in television are chosen to be servants. It doesn't matter what our particular job. We are chosen to help meet the deeper needs of those who watch and listen day and night.
You know, here's a question. I have spent a lot of time in Hollywood, like I said, too much, many years I would like to get back. I have rarely met anyone who looked at that as being a servant, being someone that actually is there to serve other people. So here's the thing. Why am I starting out with Mr. Rogers? Yes, I just thought it would be fun to go down memory lane. But on top of it, I actually think it's really, really applicable to today. So here's a couple of things that I took away from this. First of all, go see the movie. That's one thing. We all need that deep breath of fresh air. But the other thing is, I just have to say, and here maybe I'm not going to be so kind, but Hollywood needs to look in the mirror, because Hollywood talks so much about decrying hate speech, objectification, hypersexualization, pervasive violence. I've spent many years there, as I said, but they are filling our airwaves with stuff that do just that, especially for kids. My husband was a producer at Disney for many years, and people used to come up to him in the hallways and say, oh, hey, you're a straight white man who has kids, which, by the way, was kind of the exception. And they would say, what do you think about the Disney Channel? Your kids watch it. He's like, actually, we don't let our kids watch the Disney Channel, because the agenda there, and I'm not just talking about Disney, but across the board, is not about serving. It's about getting your message out there, regardless of what it does. I love what Tom Hanks says. He says, I think that when Mr. Rogers first saw a children's program, he saw something that was cynical. And why in the world would you put a pipeline of cynicism into the minds of a 2 or 3 year old kid? You know, I got to say, that is happening everywhere. So I take away from this, we have a right to stand up. I know this seems like a non sequitur, but this comprehensive sex ed, this teaching sexuality in descriptive terms to a kindergartner, we can stand up and say, hey, in the spirit of Mr. Rogers, I say, no way. That's not coming into my neighborhood, into my home, or into my school. And we need to also then turn off these things on our television. I got to tell you, I know the business model behind it. When you vote with your dollars, you get what you spend for. If you don't like some of the stuff that's out there that's hate-filled or maybe overly sexualizing kids, turn it off. Don't watch it. The numbers speak. You know, we see it in our culture. We wonder why there are the shootings. We wonder why there are all these things. There's many reasons. It is not simplistic. But when we fill our kids with hyper-violent video games, hyper-violent movies, you know what? We begin to see things we don't want to see. You know, once again, don't take it from me. Take it from Mr. Rogers, who, by the way, was fairly prophetic in 1999 when he received his actual Lifetime Achievement Award. This was his warning to the industry. And let's go ahead and play clip number three.
Last month, a 13-year-old boy abducted an 8-year-old girl. And when people ask him why, he said he learned about it on TV. Something different to try, he said. Life's cheap. What does it matter? Well, life isn't cheap. It's the greatest mystery of any millennium. And television needs to do all it can to broadcast that, to show and tell what the good in life is all about.
I think that is pretty prescient. That was 1999, and since then we've seen a whole lot more of that kind of behavior. Now, I'm not just blaming Hollywood. I think that we all need to look at our own responsibility. We can look at Hollywood and say they're responsible. We can look at ourselves and say we're responsible for what we are turning on for our kids, what we are allowing to be poured into them, cynicism and hypersexuality and all of that. And then we can be responsible also for how we interact with our neighbor. You know, one of the things I take away now, who is our neighbor? That's a great question. We've gotten into such silos that we rarely even talk to people anymore who we disagree with. Even on, you know, I mean, I don't think Mr. Rogers could have foreseen the Facebook unfriending, but I think it would have probably broken his heart a little bit. Have we unfriended people lately? Have we been unfriended? How do we handle that? Now, I'm going to ask you this question, and I do want to hear from you if you want to chime in this early, 303-696-1971. Coming up next, we're going to talk about how this plays out in our political environment. And here's the question for you. Do you think President Trump should be more like Mr. Rogers? That's a question in light of the impeachment hearings. Should our president be kinder? Or is it time for a fighter? I want to know what you think. 303-696-1971. Don't go anywhere. This is Deborah Flora filling in for Randy Corcoran.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying listening to the music. What a great way to wake up. Yes, this show is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. I'm sure if you've had even one cup of coffee, you probably realized I'm not Randy Corcoran. But hey, I am so glad to be here talking with you all today. I know you've got things to do. You're just waking up. You're having your coffee. So thanks for joining the show. I'm Deborah Flora. I am the host of the nationally syndicated radio program Bring It Up on our sister station, 94.7 FM, The Word. But always love being here on 710 KNUS because we've got the best listeners here. I also work at the station, so I know how great and engaged you are. Well, hey, right before the break, we were talking about Mr. Rogers, this breath of fresh air, this power of kindness. And we were talking about the new movie that has come out starring Tom Hanks. And here's a question I posed, and I'm not going to tell you where I stand quite yet on this, but how do we incorporate a little bit of Mr. Rogers in our current political environment? And, you know, I offered up some calls at 303-696-1971. Want to hear from you. We've got several calls on the line. Hey, let's start with Joe from Arvada. Joe, you're on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran.
Hi, Deborah. Love the movie.
Good.
I have an answer for you here at the end, but I wanted to start off by saying that this topic came up in during Thanksgiving.
Of course.
We did go and see the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful, a wonderful movie. Mr. Rogers was a wonderful person.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers embodied, in my opinion, all of the things that a Christian should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a walking example of the golden rule.
Right. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Definitely.
Exactly. However, now, that said, and the movie was wonderful, Tom Hanks is a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
And a horrible liberal.
Well, you know, and here's the thing, Joe. I've met a lot of these people, and I'm not saying that to brag, but like, you know, meeting Tom Hanks and some of these other folks. The thing about Hollywood that people don't realize is artists are driven by their hearts, and great artists, that's what motivates them. So they may have the greatest heart and maybe be a little bit of a mushy thinker. And that's how a lot of these are, although some of them are waking up. You see Tom Hanks and even Ellen DeGeneres, who got attacked for, dare she think of even giving President Bush a hug. Some of them are starting to wake up. Now, there are those who are ideologically driven. There are those who are heart driven. We screened one of our films for Ron Howard, who is one of the greatest directors. He loved it and didn't even realize that he makes conservative message movies, but his thinking is a little fuzzy. So, yes, Tom Hanks is incredibly talented. I think we're going to see a change in some of these people.
Oh, it's possible. Unlikely. And I'll tell you why. As a good example, Tom Hanks is a true Hillary Clinton supporter. I in fact, you can find this all over the internet. But I want to get back to your premise.
Yes.
How can we embody Mr. Rogers? You know, the thing is, I think you're right. Democrats, I think, started out on the right foot. When I say started out, in my lifetime,
mm-hmm, right?
You know, I'm a '60s child, so look at JFK's "Ask not what you can, what your country can do for you. Ask what your you can do for your country."
He would be a Republican today. That's when we look back. And I agree, yeah. By the way, Joe, when you look back on the days of Reagan, he and Tip O'Neill could completely disagree and then go have a beer. So that day has left us. We're in a totally different period. So tell me, do you think in this political environment, should we be more like Mr. Rogers? Should President Trump be more like Mr. Rogers? Or what? How do
we
navigate
this? We should be more like Mr. Rogers. And look at this. In the movie, I think it's so great that there was kind of two sides to the coin. There was the truth and love embodied in Mr. Rogers,
mm-hmm,
and then the Hollywood reporter, the New York Magazine reporter, kind of, to me, embodies the liberal ideal today.
Yes. Well, and he was so filled with cynicism. Here's what I'm going to tell you my thought about this. I think it really depends on who you're talking to. I think that the vast majority of Americans are that mushy middle who are waking up. That's why the impeachment is going down in public opinion, because they see that it is not driven by a real search for truth, but by a different motivation. So I think for those people, absolutely. Now, that being said, I think we see those who are motivated not by seeking truth, but by an agenda, and they are so hardened and driven that those people sometimes, I got to be honest, need a little pushback. So what I think is that Mr. Rogers' neighborhood of America has changed. There are some bullies, and I think we need some people to push back. So I think that, you know, I think that there are times to be Mr. Rogers. And then while I do wish that President Trump maybe didn't tweet some of the things he did, I think there are times we need someone to say, hey, you cannot come into this neighborhood because you're not well-meaning. Any last thoughts on that, Joe, before I go to the next call?
Absolutely. I think you're right. But I want to say this. You know, in the Bible, it says that the human heart is wicked above all things.
Yes,
and
it does.
I believe it was by David or Solomon. But the point is that yes, I believe that the human heart and humanity can be led in the proper direction and educated, and by being loved, can love.
Yes.
But it cannot be done by just human nature. Mm-hmm. Human nature is not good.
Well, definitely. I mean, we see that in Mr. Rogers. As I said, kindness is a supernatural thing. And, you know, thank you, Joe, so much for calling in. We're going to go to another caller here in a second. But I would just add one more thing from a Christian perspective. It's easy to think that we just are to be kind all the time. But here's one thing to think about. Jesus was also described as a shepherd. By the way, that staff was both for guiding gently and also for knocking wolves upside the head when they're about to eat the flock. So I think there's both places here. But thank you so much, Joe. Hey, now we have Mike from Denver on the line. Welcome to the Wake Up with Randy Corporan. I'm Deborah Flora.
Well, good morning, Deborah. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can, Mike. Thanks so much for calling in.
Excellent. I love what you're doing this morning.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
As a kid, I used to watch Mr. Rogers.
I think we all did.
Well, if you're old enough.
Yes, exactly.
And I love what you're doing with kindness and what his character was. And I did not know that he was an ordained minister. I think that's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of Mr. Rogers that is every bit or even more important is how gentle he was.
Yes, that is so true.
And what happens as we begin to, and it's age and wisdom, and we begin to attain a little bit of grace,
mm-hmm,
we begin to recognize that the people who are truly gentle understand their own power,
mm-hmm,
and they understand the power of those around them. And they don't have to be forceful or mean or vitriolic.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. I think what's interesting is we've gotten to a point where there's such a knee-jerk reaction. And it's understandable. There are bullies out there, almost, you know, they're mobs online. Somebody steps out and says one thing, they get attacked. It is so easy to turn around and hit right back. Now, like I said, I do think that there are times that we can say enough is enough. And then there are other times that we can just take a pause for a moment, listen to what somebody's really saying, and maybe not react just in kind, still speak the truth boldly. But, you know, we're talking about, you know, some spiritual elements here. It says, you know, kindness will turn aside anger. A soft word will turn aside anger. If anger is what is motivating the person, now if it's an agenda and they have some, not our good in mind, then I think there's a different response. Any last thoughts about that, Mike?
Well, yeah, and the what happens is to recognize that anger and all types of other things, hatred, judgment, fear, racism, all those things come from our fear.
Mm-hmm.
They come from us not knowing who we really are.
Right.
And, you know, we think we're in a body, we think that we're vulnerable, we think that we're separate from our source, God. We think all these things because that's the way that it seems. But once again, as you begin to recognize and feel that level of grace, you know who you are, you know what's really important in life. And this everything that we're talking about is all on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to politics or you go to Trump and you go to the left and right, Donald Trump is simply an archetype. And
right.
The people that hate him and the people that love him have fallen into the archetype of the division of what's going on politically in our country.
Mm-hmm. But I think... No, go ahead. Sorry.
I certainly appreciate what he's doing, and mm-hmm. I like that he pushes back.
Right, right.
And I think that it's very important. And so the question is, you know, should he be kinder? Should he be gentler? And my response is not if he wants to get reelected. Because he's fulfilling the archetype that the country needs right now.
You know what?
You
actually led to my point, Mike. I'm so sorry to cut you off, but that's exactly what I was going to say. And I so appreciate your calling in because I do think there are times for Mr. Rogers, and Mr. Rogers can be kind, especially to the children, and help us with our neighbors who are well-meaning. But the neighborhood, if we're taking this analogy, has been invaded by those who are not necessarily even motivated by their own fear. They are motivated by an agenda to change this neighborhood drastically. So just like in a neighborhood, you have the policeman, you also have the kind neighbor on the porch. So we need both of them. Thank you so much, Mike. We have another caller on the line, so I'm going to keep moving on, but I so appreciate your calling in. Hey, we have Hank also from Denver. Hank, welcome to the show.
Hey there. Thank you so much for your topic and your openness to conversation this morning.
Oh,
you sound like the kind of Californian we need moving back to Colorado.
Hey, Hank, I just have to clear the record. I am not a Californian. I just want to make that clear. I grew up on Lowry Air Force Base. But thank you. Yes, we do want to welcome anybody who shares our values.
You resisted the Californification of yourself while you were out there.
Oh, I fled it with such gratitude. And when I saw that welcome home to colorful Colorado sign, I was thrilled. But thank you.
Oh, good.
Thank
like
you, Hank.
Home.
Yes, exactly. So go ahead.
No, I think you bring up so many good points. Mr. Rogers is just one person who perhaps in his way of presenting things typifies the better parts of man, and I think that's because of his training in the Christian
yes.
belief. I think this is what the prophets were. The prophets mm-hmm. were people who came or rose to the top all around the world in different cultures because of what they said. I mean, you had three major prophets, Buddha, historically, Christ, and Muhammad, and they all said different things. I believe, I may be wrong, but I think Jesus was the only one who did not pick up a sword ever. He picked up a whip one time, but he never picked up the sword. In his life, Buddha had picked up a sword at one time, but put it down quickly, and Muhammad picked up a sword later. Deepak Chopra, are you familiar with him? Did you
yes,
ever meet
I
him
am.
Out in California?
I did not meet him, but I do know who he is.
Well, he's so good. He has written so many books now, and the guy is a moving force. And he wrote three books, one about each prophet, Buddha, Jesus, the third Jesus, we cannot ignore, the prophet who said, do unto others as you would do unto yourself, and that's the hard commandment to follow. And then he wrote one about Muhammad because I think he wanted to know. But all the prophets in their better things talked about being kind to people and tolerating. And Deepak was a friend of a guy named Wayne Dyer. Do you know mm-hmm. him?
Yes, yes, I do know the name.
Also a big author, and he went through an alcoholic phase in his life, and he said AA, he learned, this is my way, what is your way? The way does not exist. And he also said that if you're given the choice between being right and being nice, choose nice.
Hmm.
And nice is another word for what you're saying, kind.
Yes.
And that's what we're having a lack of, and it all goes back to those things. This is my way, what is your way? The way doesn't exist. Come, let us have a conversation about our different ideas.
Yes,
but you're right, unfortunately, about the political thing. The other side does have an agenda. It does take a strong shepherd to control the flock. And if you go back historically in Israel times, God sent a flawed man, David, to lead them through. And so we may have a flawed man now, but he is certainly a strong man. And I believe, hopefully, some of the Republican, the right-sided politicians are learning to have a stronger spine through some of the ways he fights back against the total craziness of the left.
Hey there. You know, Hank, thank you so much for calling in. We're going to be heading to a break. I really appreciate that. One thing I would say, however, while I agree with most of that, is that we're going to talk about in the next hour when we have Brigitte Gabriel on about a little bit of the differences between Islamic belief and what our country was founded on, which was Judeo-Christian. Muhammad, early on, by the way, he looked to Judaism and got most of his belief early on from his travels, one of the few people that traveled from his village. And then it became very much what was later now we see in the Middle East, which is, you know, the commandment is if someone is not a Muslim, you are to enslave, to kill, or to convert. So while I do appreciate the idea that, you know, in America, we want everyone to have the freedom to live and to worship and to not worship, whatever it is, that is actually a uniquely Judeo-Christian belief. But most of all, I do appreciate your calling in, Hank, and joining the conversation, because I think everyone now is in consensus with my point, which is, hey, there's a time for Mr. Rogers, and there's a time for the police officer that keeps the bullies out of the neighborhood, and that's where President Trump is. Coming back, we're going to talk about this concept, this kindness, this Mr. Rogers. How do we maneuver in this day and age of this impeachment and this vitriol? So don't go anywhere. This is Deborah Flora. I'm sitting in for Randy Corporan on 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Well, welcome back to Wake Up with Randy Corporan. I'm Deborah Flora, sitting in for Randy this morning. Hey, nothing to wake us up like Jimi Hendrix. I feel very wake. Coffee, little rock music. So here we go. Well, we're just going to wind up our conversation that we started earlier today about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And we talked about the resurgence of popularity. And we posed this question. In this political environment, should we all be a little bit more like Mr. Rogers? Well, here is my theory. It kind of depends on the person we're talking to. Because yes, to most of Americans, we can really make a difference in the conversation if we don't just hit back when we're hit. You know, Jonathan Turley, he was the George Washington University professor who spoke during the impeachment hearings this week. The only one of the four, while a Democrat, while saying he did not vote for President Trump, the only one that spoke out about what's really going on here. And he said basically that everybody's mad. He's mad. His wife is mad. His kids are mad. Even his golden doodle is mad. You all probably remember him saying that. And he said, but that is not the way to operate in a civil society. That's not the reason to have an impeachment. You know, following up on that, Nancy Pelosi kind of angrily said that she doesn't hate anyone. It was kind of an interesting way to present it, that she's not doing this because she hates anyone. Here's what I would say. When we decide how we are going to respond to someone, we need to really first not presume their motives, but try to understand it. Now, hey, I'm going to take Nancy Pelosi at her word. I actually don't think she's motivated by hate. I think she is motivated, and the Democrats who are pushing this are motivated by a very strategic agenda that they are so committed to that truth doesn't matter. That's what I think. I think it's not so much hate as it is an elitist mentality that we are right, we know what is better, and if we need to sacrifice truth and justice and due process in the sake of what we know to be better, that's kind of the progressive ideal, then we'll do that. So when you look at those kind of motives, that those folks who are on that agenda-driven side, I don't think there's a whole lot of conversation that can happen. And we were positing the question, should President Trump be more like Mr. Rogers? No, I do not think we need a President Rogers at this moment in our time, because if we're looking at the neighborhood analogy, those who truly mean to fundamentally transform our neighborhood, as Obama started the process, well, it's been going on before him, but as he verbalized and is going on right now in this impeachment hearing, then we need a police officer. We need someone to say, stop, you may not proceed, and it takes a certain fighting spirit. What about the rest of those that we are around? I think the vast majority of people, however, we can take a bit more of a Mr. Rogers approach. In fact, the majority of Americans who are not these diehard progressives with an agenda to transform America, they're waking up and realizing that these proceedings are not truthful. Polls are showing that especially independents are completely souring on the impeachment. This is our opportunity to have a real conversation with them, to lower the tenor, because independents, most part, are turned off by this vitriolic, vilified conversation. So that's where we can be Mr. Rogers, especially the holidays, by the way. I know that this is not an easy task when we're going to be around our family members, but that's a challenge. We need to know when we need to be the bulldog and when we need to be like Mr. Rogers. So, hey, we're going to continue that conversation as we come back, because you're not going to want to miss it. In the next hour, we're going to have with us Bridgie Gabriel. She understands very well a certain ideology, having been the victim of extreme Islamic terrorism as a child, and how we need to take a stand against it. So I don't want you to go anywhere. It's going to be a great interview coming up. Well, don't go anywhere, as I said. You are listening to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. I'm Deborah Flora, and I look forward to continuing this conversation on 710 KNUS.